Blog Talk Radio.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in all of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life, and still I hurt you. Lost so many times to find you again. But I repent, forgive me for my sins. You played it all.
Good morning. First, give honor to God, who's the head of our life. Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is Wisdom Wednesday, The scripture for this morning is coming from Lamentations 3 and 25. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. Excuse me, Lamentations 3 and 25. The Lord is good to whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak or if you need prayer.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Pastor Daniel Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you on the through the word on this morning. We thank you guys so guys very much for joining and being a part of today's broadcast. Before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to praise and worship your name. Father, just to give your name glory, God, is all that we desire to do. Father, we realize and understand, God, is there's nothing but your goodness and your mercy, Father, that has allowed us to see this day. God, we thank you for that unmerited favor, God, that mercy, God, that is everlasting. God, we thank you for allowing us to see it. God, we thank you for the praising and the worshiping, God, that we will do on today, God, because we understand it is just and due unto you. For you are God, and you are God all by yourself. And great is thy faithfulness toward your servants, toward the ones who love you on this morning. So we thank you, oh God, God, for this opportunity just to come before your presence, God. God, and to give your name praise, glory, and honor, for it is due just that. Father, we pray for those that's under the sound of our voices on this morning. God, we pray that you would touch them, God, move by your power and by your strength. God, do what you do best, and that is be God and be God all by yourself. Father, show yourself mighty and strong, God, in their life right now. God, remove the noise and pestilence that's speaking in their ear. God, remove the hardness from their heart. God, remove, God, the chaos that's in their minds, God, that they can hear your voice on this morning. God, we praise and worship you, God, today, because we know that it is in you we live. It's in you we breathe. It's in you we have our being on this morning. And we thank God for that opportunity, God, to be able to move and live and breathe in you on this morning. We want to make sure that we acknowledge those countries that are listening in on this morning. We thank you so very much for being a part of today's broadcast. We love you. We appreciate you. We know that you are out there doing the work of the missionary. You're doing the work of the co-laborer in the ministry out in the mission fields, working and moving and breathing and doing what you do best, and that is you stand on the word of God and you trust God throughout all of that, the situations and circumstances that is seen with you guys out there in those other countries. And we appreciate you, all of the pastors and missionaries, for what you do out there, and know that we are praying for you, know we're interceding for you, know that we're calling on the name of the Lord for you. We know that the situations and circumstances sometimes get a little bit difficult. We know the trials of life sometimes get a little bit difficult, but we know that you're continuing to press. We know that you are being pressed by the taskmasters of that era, area. We know that they're doing their best to keep you from speaking and proclaiming the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But know that we are praying for you. Know that we are interceding for you. The Bible says, "Where one will put a thousand to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight." You have the whole family of the Worldwide Gospel Connection that is praying for you, that is interceding for you, that is calling on the name of the Lord for you. And our prayer is that God move by His power and His strength and continue to keep you safe is our prayer. We want to make sure that we acknowledge you. We have Canada, we have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Zimbabwe, we have Kenya, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Germany, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Bulgaria, and we have Russia. Thank you guys so very much for partnering up with us on this morning, and we love you so much. We appreciate you so much, and we know that you guys are continuing to listen in and to be encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through what God is saying here on the broadcast, and we appreciate you for taking out that time on this morning to be a part of what God is saying. Amen. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We're going to take a quick musical break. We'll be right back.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. My stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried. The things I've kept bottled up inside. Trying my best to be strong. Waiting on God and holding on. You don't know what I had to endure. And you wonder why I'm so sure. 'Cause my Father never lets me down. Just don't know.
Hearing found in the Gospel of Matthew at chapter number 2, verses 1 through verse number 12. This scripture is often read at Christmas time, but I want to talk tonight about the sacrifice of biblical worship. The sacrifice of biblical worship. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Verses 1 through 12 is the story of the Magi, the wise men who have come from the east to pay homage, to give adoration and praise to this one who is born King of the Jews. By way of introduction, there are seven or eight things that they do in their worship that pertains or ought to pertain to each of us, and I will not spend all night talking about all seven or eight of these. I just want to mention them to you by way of introduction, that their worship was intentional, it was volitional, it was personal, confrontational, emotional, effectual, relational, but most of all, their worship was sacrificial. The sacrifice of biblical worship. A whole lot of the worship wars that happened in the early 90s, in the early 2000s, conflict over whether or not worship should be traditional or contemporary, whether there should be pipe organs or keyboards. Those things are superfluous and mundane. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a traditional worship or a contemporary worship. It does not matter if it's a praise team or a chancel choir. It does not matter if you have a pipe organ or Hammond B3. Worship, when it is real, is in spirit and in truth. And I want to mention to you tonight, I'm not going to charge you for this, I'm just going to give you this for free. When you really come to worship, be careful who you sit by, because not everybody came to worship. Not everybody here tonight came to worship. Be careful when you really want to worship God, that you find you a section, find you a role, find you a group of people who look like they're glad to be in the service just one more time. As a matter of fact, you have my permission right in the middle of this sermon that if you are seated next to somebody who look like they can't smile and they can't wave their hands and they're too stuck up to open their mouths and they're too sophisticated to give God the praise, you have my permission to move right now. Find you somebody who look like they are grateful that God gave them another chance. because he didn't have to let us get here tonight. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. If nobody else wants to give God the praise, if nobody else wants to worship God tonight, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in. If you don't want to praise him, I will. If you don't want to tell him thank you, I will. If you don't want to give him glory, I will. If you don't want to magnify his name, leave me alone. I'm going to give God my praise because I've got so much to be grateful for. They came to worship this child. Their worship, the sacrifice of a biblical worship, as we look at it in the text, it relates to us tonight because it cost them their time. It cost them their time. They came from ancient Mesopotamia, several hundred miles. It took them several months at great expense to come to worship this Jesus. Real worship, beloved, is an investment in time. You've got to give God time in prayer, time in dealing with sin in your life, time in getting your heart right for worship. There are some people at Lily Grove, we start at 7:30, and there are some people at Lily Grove who get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They get there early, they find their seat, they settle themselves down, and they get their hearts right for worship. They are already in there praying for me, that God will stand up in me and use me to preach his word. They're already praying that the choir will sing with power and conviction. They came early. They came on purpose to make sure that their hearts were right for worship. They didn't rush in and come all the way from the back and disturb the worship while the ushers trying to show them a seat. They want to go sit where they want to sit, and they want to do what they want to do and get there late and parade down the aisle because they want to be seen. No, they get there early because worship is an investment in your time. I need to say to us, Church Without Walls, that when you see people who truly worship in public, you are looking at people who truly worship in private. If you can't worship God publicly, more than likely you're not worshiping God privately. If you're not praising God at your house, I doubt seriously that you will ever praise him at his house. If you are not giving God your time, I'm sure that worship for you is routine and mundane. Can I help us tonight? We complain about how far it is to get to the church. And we work all the week long, and pastor expect us here on Tuesday night, and then we got to come to usher's meeting, and then we got to come to choir rehearsal, and then we got to get here for all these services on Sunday morning. I need some time for myself. And the devil will tell you, listen, girl, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. And then you convince yourself that you've given the Lord too much time, and it's too much time at the church. And if you got a weak husband, he'll tell you at the church too much. You're always at that church. You need to spend some time with me. You ought to be careful with that. Because, listen, my daughter went to the Travis Scott concert Saturday night. She started getting ready at 12 o'clock Saturday during the day. It took her all day to get ready to go to a concert Saturday night. Travis Scott and Kanye West and all those people showed up there, and 50,000 or more people were there, your members and ours, at the Travis Scott concert like Astroworld is going to ever come back. And they over there making noise and dancing and cutting up. My daughter was so hoarse she couldn't hardly talk Sunday morning, hollering and screaming for Kanye and Travis Scott when they weren't getting any of the money from those people. Nobody at that concert thought about how much time it took to get there. Because you have time for what you want to have time for. I wish I had two or three witnesses here. Somebody here ought to help me testify. When you were going to the club, when you were going to parties, you didn't start dancing at the club. You were in the mirror getting ready. I wish I had three or four more club goers here. You were already ready when you got to the party. I wish I had one or two more witnesses here. Look like to me, when you're on your way to church, you ought to start getting ready when you wake up. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. And by the time you get to church, you're so energized and so enthusiastic because you took your time to get to God's house to give God your time. You have time for what you want to have time for. You spend your time on what you want to spend your time on. And people who don't give God any time are not real worship. I'm so sick of young adults talking about y'all make too many demands of us at church. And y'all always got something for us to do at the church. We can't spend all our time at the church. And my answer to them is always the same. When did you think I started pastoring? I didn't start pastoring when I was old. I started pastoring as a young adult. I never had a young adult life to speak of. I started preaching at 18. I started pastoring at 20. And so I never had a young adult life. I've never been to a club. I've never been drunk. I never smoked weed. All of those things are on my bucket list. I can't wait till I retire from the pastor. I'm going to a club. I'm going to get drunk. And I'm going to... So I'm telling you, if you hear about it, I'm telling you right now, that's what's going to happen. And so I've spent all my life in church. And brothers and sisters, hear me. I don't regret one minute of giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I didn't waste my time on foolish pursuits. I sought the Lord in my youth. I came to God when I was young. I gave God the best years of my life because I recognize I and you have an expiration date. And so I want to give God my time while I can. I don't ever think it's too much time to go to church. I don't ever think you spend too much time in church. You don't spend enough time in church. I'm not just talking about young adults now. There's some old folk who talk silly like that. Some old people who say, I went to church so much when I was young that I don't need to go to church that much now. I went to church so much when I was... What you think old folk need to do but go to church? You can't do nothing else but go to church. No, they gave the Lord Jesus their time. But I came tonight to talk about this second point. They came and they gave him their treasure. Real worship costs you time. Real worship costs you, secondly, treasure. They came and they brought not inexpensive gifts. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought their treasure. They brought their treasure. And tonight, Church Without Walls, Lily Grove members of other churches who are here, you ought not be stingy with your treasure. You ought to give God your treasure. I said, you ought to give God your treasure. I was preaching Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit led me to that. I hadn't thought about it until I stood up. In that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that talks about our redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace. And I hadn't thought about it until I stood up. The Holy Spirit revealed to me in that text that there's a difference between giving out of your riches and giving according to your riches. There's a difference between giving out of your riches and giving according to your riches. If you make $200,000 a year and you give God $20, you are giving out of your riches. But if you make $200,000 a year and give God $20,000, you're giving according to your riches. Are y'all listening to me? When God blesses you, you ought to give to the Lord according to your riches, because God saved us according to the riches of His grace. God did not save us out of His grace. He saved us according to His grace, meaning He saved us more than we need to be saved. His salvation is more than we will ever be able to need. He just super abundantly saved us. And since God saved us in super abundance, we ought to give in super abundance. It's a privilege to give to the Lord. And then it's a privilege to have something to give to the Lord. Somebody ought to help me preach here tonight. I'm trying to leave that alone. But you remember that woman with that alabaster box? She came with her alabaster box of expensive perfume. That alabaster box, the jar that contained the perfume, the alabaster stone can only be found in Egypt. And the perfume to make the expensive nard, or the expensive perfume housed in that alabaster box, comes from a plant that only grows in the Himalayan mountains. And so she has this expensive alabaster jar, the stone that comes from Egypt, and a plant that grows in the Himalayan mountains. And when she comes to where Jesus is, she could have easily dabbed the perfume on Him, because it was that expensive and that fragrant. But because she loved Him so much, she broke open the alabaster box and poured the perfume on Him to demonstrate how much she loved Him. Can I help you with that? She could have taken that perfume and just hit the right spot. Because when it's expensive, you ain't got to spray it all over the place. You just dab it in the right spots, and the perfume goes all over the place. The reason some of y'all can't praise God tonight is because you dabbing your praise. You dabbing your time. You dabbing your Bible study. You dabbing your giving to the Lord. But for those of us who have broken open our alabaster box, because we've got so much to be grateful for, we don't mind praising God with everything we have, even our treasure. I mentioned this to Lily Grove, that there was an old lady at the church where I used to pastor, my home church. I pastored my home church 10 years. And there was a lady in our church named Katie Hill. Miss Katie was 99 years old. Beautiful black woman. Beautiful skin. Gorgeous hair. Miss Katie was a beautiful woman at 99 years old. I wish I could have known her in her 40s and her 30s. But she was a beautiful woman at 99 years old. Miss Katie was feisty and full of spunk. She walked 5 miles from her house to come to my house to bring me a birthday gift in June, in the hot sun, my birthday, June 27th. Miss Katie walked all the way to my house. And when I saw her outside, she knocked on the door. I opened the door. I said, Miss Katie, you didn't have to do that. You could have called me, and I would have come to your house to get it. She said, if I wanted you to come to my house to get it, I would have called you. But Miss Katie was a sweet, sweet woman at 99 years old. And her daughter was named Helen, and Miss Helen worked at the hospital. But there were some times when Miss Helen went to work and Miss Katie dressed herself. And when Miss Katie dressed herself, she put on all her jewelry. Every ring on her finger, every necklace around her neck, and she bathed herself in Estee Lauder perfume. I could tell when Miss Helen had gone to work, because Miss Katie put all her jewelry on, all her rings, all her necklaces, and you could smell the Estee Lauder down the street. And Miss Katie would not let me leave that church until she kissed me on the lips every Sunday morning. One Sunday, my wife had to work, and she wasn't at church, and Miss Katie would kiss me on the lips every Sunday morning with all her jewelry, all her necklaces, and you could smell the Estee Lauder perfume. My wife wasn't at church that Sunday. When I got home, she said, you've been hugging Miss Katie, ain't you? I said, how you know? She said, you smell like Estee Lauder perfume. Can I help somebody with that? When you've been with Jesus, when you've really been worshiping and giving God the glory and opening your mouth and raising your hands, when you leave the church without walls, people ought to know where you've been, because you smell like Jesus. You look like Jesus. You talk, you act, you sound like Jesus. If God has been good to you and you really came to worship, don't just worship God with your time, but loose your treasure. I know you don't have this problem, Pastor West. But we've built all that magnificent sanctuary over there at Lily Grove to the tune of over $25 million. And some members of our church have left to go to another church because they say it's too big. All that church. And they're getting out of there talking about it's too big. I think it's a black thing, because you like a club that's small and smoking. Somebody ought to help me preach here tonight. Cramped, and you can't hardly get in there. And soon as the man puts some black and white tile on the floor and big screen televisions up, you go to another club. This is it. The same thing happened with them. When they were in Fourth Ward and they had that little hole in the wall, the line was around the building. Now they got a place with aquariums and nice seating and all. You can sit anywhere you want. Because we leave because we don't want to pay. We don't want to give. But you go down 59. Over at the Lakewood Church. Over there at Voss at Second Baptist. And then you marvel at what white people are able to do at their churches. Yes, they can do all of that with your money. Bring us some money. See how quiet you got right there? Bring us some time. Bring us some treasure. It's amazing we get done what we get done with the people we have to get it done with. It's just the grace of God that our doors are still open, because we still have people who are shouting on credit. All this building is built, all of this magnificence, all this opulence, all of this beauty, and you shouting and haven't given God any treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you love God, you will give him your treasure. If you love the church, you will give God your time. If you love how God is blessing you, then you start giving God your praise, not out of your blessings, but according to your blessings. And brothers and sisters, as I hurry, if every one of us tonight would start counting our blessings and start praising God according to our blessings, we'd be here till in the morning telling God, thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for the many doors you've opened. Thank you for the tears you've dried. Thank you for the prayers you've answered. Thank you for the ways you've made. I don't just want to praise God out of my blessings. I want to praise God according to my blessings. He satisfies my mouth with good things. He renews my strength like the eagle. God has been good to me. God has been good to you. And if God has ever blessed you, praise him, not out of your blessings, but according to your blessings. They brought their time. It cost their treasure. And then finally, real worship, the sacrifice of biblical worship, will cost you your testimony. It will cost you your reputation. It'll cost you how people look at you. It'll cost you your supposed importance. A pretty good thing to remember next time you come in church is to check your ego at the door. Put your self-esteem, leave your self-esteem in the car. Because there ain't no superstar here but Jesus Christ. Leave your degrees on the outside. Leave your pretty way you look at yourself and fix your mouth when you smile. Leave all of that at home. Leave all your the trappings of what you think is success at home, and come and give God your best praise. Look at what they did. They represented a priestly class that held significant power in ancient Mesopotamia. They were known in Persia as the kingmakers. We usually think that it was just three wise men who came because they opened three treasures. But they traveled usually in a retinue of 12 with armed guards. When you read the scripture says Herod was terrified. He would not have been afraid of just three old wise men. They came with armed guards because they were important, significant, prestigious men. But they left their pride and their prestige outside when they went to worship Jesus Christ. They left their significance outside because Jesus was to be worshiped, and if you're going to worship Jesus, you can't worship him and you at the same time. Brothers and sisters, these educated, sophisticated men left all pretense on the outside because they came to Jesus Christ. And here is what made them wise, and I'm in my seat. When they came to Jesus, they bowed down. And tonight, when you come to Jesus, put your head down. Put your ego aside. Bow down, genuflect, fall on your knees, because he's worthy to be praised. Not only did they bow down, but they opened their treasures. They opened their gifts. And tonight, Church Without Walls, Pastor West, members of this church needs you to open your gifts. Somebody needs to be used here tonight. You are gifted and you need to give God your gifts, but you're sitting on it because you're mad at somebody. Don't let anybody make you mad enough not to give God the praise. Don't let anybody get on your nerves enough that you can't come and give God your gifts. I said to members of our church, I ain't mad with nobody on Sunday. Now, we can cuss each other out on Monday, but I ain't mad with nobody on Sunday, because I'm not going to let anybody mess up Amazing Grace for me. I'm not going to let anybody stop me from hearing the word God has for me to hear because I'm mad with somebody sitting next to me. No. I came here to give God my praise, and then I came here, and you ought to come here to give God your gifts. The young people need you. The choir needs you. The ushers, the greeters, the Sunday school needs you. The food pantry needs you. You have gifts that God has blessed you with, and you are sitting on them because you want to be the president. You want a title. Stop worrying about your title and get you a testimony. Pharaoh had a title, but Moses had a testimony. Jezebel had a title, but Elijah had a testimony. Pilate had a title, but Jesus had a testimony. Agrippa had a title, but Paul had a testimony. Stop worrying about your titles and get you a testimony. Let God use you in the area of your gift. I'm trying to leave that alone, but you need to find out what your gifts are. Because if you can't sing, it's a pretty good chance that the choir is not your area of ministry. If you don't like children, children's church may not be the place for you. If you can't stand up long, maybe you can't be an usher. You don't like people, maybe greeting is not your ministry. But there's something that you can do in the kingdom of God. If it's no more than finding an anteroom while the pastor is praying or preaching, that you'll be in that room praying that God will give free rein to the Holy Spirit to catch a fire in this church, that may be your gift. They bowed. They open their gifts, but this last word and I'm through. The scripture says, after all of that, they went home another way. They bowed. They opened their gifts, and they went home another way. And once you have met Jesus, once you have come in contact with the man from Galilee, you got to go home another way. You're going to help me close this little sermon, won't you? All I've been trying to say to you, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus Christ is worthy. That word worthy comes from an old English word, worthship. It's a real estate term that means to make an appraisal. If you're really going to worship God tonight, you're going to have to make an appraisal. I've learned this from people who do real estate. I didn't know this until I talked to some people who do real estate. That word worthy comes from the old English word worthship, that is a real estate term that means to make an appraisal. There are several kinds of appraisals. There's what's called, I'm told, a laptop appraisal. A laptop appraisal is when you just sit in front of a computer and pull up the district where the house is in. If it's a mud district or or if it's incorporated or unincorporated, or what kind of stores are in the area, and you just put it up on a computer. You don't have to see it. You just make a laptop appraisal. And then there's what's called a drive-by appraisal. A drive-by appraisal is a little more than a laptop appraisal, because you drive in the neighborhood to see what kind of streets are in the neighborhood. See the value of the houses in the neighborhood. How far is the church from the house? How far is the Galleria? How far are hospitals and banks and the post office? That's a drive-through appraisal. But then the final appraisal is what's called a walk-through appraisal. A walkthrough appraisal is different from a laptop and a drive-by appraisal, because you get out the car, close the door, walk on the sidewalk, open the front door, go in the house, count how many rooms are there, how many closets, where the sink, where the bathrooms, stand up and jump on the foundation to make sure that it's steady and the foundation is good. You walk all around the house on the outside. You go in the loft. You go around to see if there is some good foundation and brick and everything is the way it's supposed to be. You walk through to make a final appraisal. Some of you can't worship tonight like you ought to worship, because you've been doing a laptop appraisal. You just watch other people praise God. It really doesn't mean that much to you. You just come to church because it's just on your way to Luby's, or it's on your way to Papa Do's, or you just come here every Sunday. You just used to come in here. That's a laptop appraisal. And then some of you do a drive-by appraisal. You drive by Bible study. You drive by prayer meeting, you drive by choir rehearsal, or you drive by here on the second and the fourth Sunday, or the first and the third Sunday, or you come just on the first to take the Lord's Supper and we don't see you until the other month comes in. That's a drive-by appraisal. That's a little better than a laptop appraisal, but it still ain't nothing. You're still not worshiping God as He is worthy to be worshiped. But thank God there are some of us who know how to do a walk-through appraisal. We've been through some stuff. God has opened some doors for us. God has raised some friends for us. God has put down some enemies for us. God has dried our tears. God has been with us in the midst of our storm. And you're not going to make us deny the goodness of God. It doesn't matter how you look at us when we are praising God. It doesn't matter how you criticize us when we are giving God the glory. We don't care nothing about how you stare at us. It doesn't bother us that you think we are making too much noise. We didn't come here for you. We didn't come here to impress you. We didn't come here to make sure that we didn't get on your nerves. We came here because we had a hard week last week. Our children are giving us the blues. Our health is failing. Old age is coming on. We are always at the doctor's office, but God still gives us the strength to make our way to the house of God. And we have not done a laptop appraisal, because God is worth more than a little laptop appraisal. We have not done a drive-by appraisal. God's been too good to us for us to do a drive-by on Sunday morning. But there are some of us who do a walk-through appraisal, because God ought to be worshipped on a Tuesday night. We ought to give God the glory on a Tuesday night, because He's worthy. He's worthy of all our praise. I mention this to our congregation from time to time. If you can think about it, I need you to get a little 3x5 index card and put a little note by your seat next Sunday. Don't do it right now. They're going to be looking at you. But next Sunday, just get you a 3x5. Or if they can't read little small letters, get you an 8x11 sheet of paper and write a disclaimer at the top of it. And put it down by your Bible or by your umbrella or by your purse and say, this is a disclaimer. if you're going to sit by me, it's going to get noisy. If you're going to sit on this road, I'm going to get loud. If you're going to be in my section, I'm going to wave my hand. I'm going to tell God thank you. I'm going to make a whole lot of racket. Now, if that gets on your nerves, you might want to find you another seat. I'm looking at some of you sophisticated people in here, some of you educated folk in here, some of you people in gated communities in here. I'm looking at you looking like you don't know what I'm talking about. And you're saying to yourself, it don't take all of that. You don't have to carry on like that. That's ignorant. That's old-timey. That's old-fashioned. You sweat too much. You holler too much. And so they want to go to a church where there's no hollering, where there's no cutting up and shouting and carrying on and making noise. Well, there are some churches where you can find that. But in this church, there are some walk-through appraisals. There are some people here who's been through storm and rain. There's somebody here, God kept you when you were about to lose your mind. God made a way when you were down to your last dime. God picked you up, turned you around, placed your feet on solid ground. You ought to tell somebody, it may not take all of that for you, but you speak for yourself. It takes all of that for me. He's done so much. He's done so much. He's been so good that I've got to praise his name. He's opened so many doors. I've got to tell God, thank you. You don't mind if I talk about him, do you? You don't mind if I mention his name, do you? He's been so good to me that every time I stand up to preach, I got to call his name. You don't mind if I go through it, do you? He's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in a time of storm. He's a friend when you're friendless. Bread when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. Y'all know him, don't you? He's God's only son. He's Mary's baby boy. He's James and Jude's older brother. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. He's Acts coming of the Holy Ghost. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the blessed and the only potentate. He's the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the rose of Sharon, distinctive in supernatural capacity, superlative in sovereign majesty, exclusive in spiritual beauty, radiant in eternal splendor, matchless in supernal deity. He's the God of gods. He's the Prince of princes. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and the morning star. Is there anybody here who knows my Jesus? Is there anybody here who knows my Lord? If the Lord opened doors for you, come on, help me praise him. If the Lord made a way for you, and you don't mind lifting your hands. If the Lord brought you out, and you don't mind telling him thank you, why don't you tell him thank you? Thank you. 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 Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for Jesus. One Friday, he died. Didn't he die? But Sunday morning, he arose. I know he's alright. I know he's alright. He walks
He tells me I am his own. And the joy. You don't mind if I tell my story, do you? The reason why I shout so much, the reason why I praise so much, is because 7 years ago, I was in the hospital, and the doctor said I would only live 2 hours. But here I am at the Church Without Walls testifying. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Then the doctor said, if he lives, you're going to have to put him in a nursing home. He'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. But here I am in the pulpit at the Church Without Walls, clothed and in my right mind. He's able. Why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you encourage somebody? Tell them whatever you're going through, he's able. Whatever you are up against, he's able. He's able. He's able. I know he's all right.
Subscribe to Brother Rollins Videos for Christ on YouTube.
Welcome back. That was Pastor Terry Anderson. This overcoming scripture is Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. The overcoming scripture speaks all for itself. It is a process of believing and a process of confessing. When you come to this place that you're in right now, that God has offered to you, we're extending to you in the name of the Lord, that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes the process is a little bit harder. Sometimes the storms are a little bit more difficult. Sometimes the tears seem a little bit more frequent. Sometimes the heartache and the pain seems a little bit more complex. But I stopped by tonight, this morning, to tell you that in this night season that you're in, God is able to bring you out of that very thing that you're in right now. Only thing you have to do is just trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This is the opportunity for you to receive God as your Lord and Savior to direct your path. It is a very simple process. Sometimes it seems a little bit more difficult than what we are prepared for. Seems a little bit more complex than what we are prepared for. But this process right here, this shifting right here, this transition right here, only thing you have to do is just trust in the Lord and let him do what he does best, and that is be God and be big in your life. Amen. So this morning, those of you all that are under the sound of my voice on this morning, those that you, one of you who would like to walk into this relationship, this new connection with God, I am here to offer that to you. One thing you have to do this morning is receive from the Lord that that accountability, that mindset that I'm going to walk into that place that God called me to walk into, mentality. Very simple, not complex at all. Just receive it and let him do what he does best, and that is be God. Amen? So here is your opportunity. Here is your chance to receive that. So this morning, as we extend to you this opportunity, as we extend to you this chance to receive this relationship with him, only thing you have to do is just surrender. Surrender your heart and your mind as we go into prayer on this morning. So I invite you this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior simply by just surrendering and receiving the prayer that we're going to pray and receiving the scripture as we confess it over your life right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Come, lend me your hearts this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come before you and to worship and to praise your name. Those that are under the sound of our voice this morning, under the sound of your voice this morning, the sound of you speaking life on this morning to them, through them, and for them. God, I pray this morning, God, that you would touch them in a mighty way. God, strengthen them where they're weak. Build them up, God, where they need to be built up. God, give them to know, God, that even in this, that you are yet God and you are yet God all by yourself. And in you, there is no failure. In you, there is no failure. In you, there is no failure, God. No matter where they may find themselves at this morning, God, our prayer this morning, God, as we connect into their lives right now, God, we pray, God, that you would do what you do best, God, and move by your power, move by your strength. Touch right now from the crown of their heads to the soles of their very feet. Give them to know, God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself. God, you are able to do what you said you're going to do. You will show up and show out. God, as they surrender their lives today unto you, Father God, as they surrender their lives unto you, God, I speak the scripture over their life. I say the scripture, God, that Romans 10:9, that they confess with their mouth and that they believe in their heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and they are now saved. They're in a safe place. They're in the safety of your arms and in the safety of your care. They're in the safety of all that you need for them, Father God. God, and we pray today, God, that you would be their strength and their hope and their life on this morning. Give them to know, God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus, God, in the mighty and rich name of Jesus, God, we pray, Lord God, for all of our first responders. We pray for all of our missionaries, our pastors and preachers across this country. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, we pray that you would touch their lives, touch their minds and their hearts, strengthen them on every hand. God, give them the ability to stand and to withstand. God, all that the enemy is trying to come against their life with. Father, for the battle is not theirs, but it's the Lord's. It's what your word tells us, God. God, it's what your word tells us on this morning. God, you tell us that we should stand in you. You tell us in your word that we should trust in you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. So I pray, Lord God, for them, God, that you would touch them in a mighty way. Give them strength. Build them. Strengthen them, God, on every hand. Let them know that you are not just God, but you are God all by yourself. And beside you, there is no other. God, you can do a great thing in their life. You can remove anything, God, that the enemy thought that they could use as a weapon against them, oh God. God, we thank you right now for touching all of our first responders, our pastors, our prophets, our preachers, evangelists, God, that's around this country. God, we pray that you will continue to put your hand that over their life, God. God, give them strength in the fight. Let them not get weary and well-doing for in their doing, God. God, you're able to do what you said you're going to do, God, and that is strengthen them, God. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Here are three keys since you can surrender your life to Christ. One, find your Bible, King James or NIV. Two, find your church home. Three, in that church home that you go to, make sure the man or woman of God is not only preaching the word, but that they are living the word. This is very critical since you surrender your life to Christ. Again, one, get your Bible. 2, find your church home. And 3, make sure the man or woman of God is not only preaching the word, but that they are living the word.
You held that for two.